Welcome to episode 969 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Did you know that the loudest sound ever recorded on Earth was the eruption of the Krakatoa volcano in Indonesia in 1883? The explosion was so powerful that it was heard over 3,000 miles away in Australia and the island of Rodrigues near Mauritius, also approximately 3,000 miles away. The sound waves circled the globe 7 times, and the blast sent shockwaves into the atmosphere. As loud and terrifying as that event was, the Bible tells us that the return of Jesus will be accompanied by a sound even more powerful, the trumpet of God. This sound will be heard around the entire world, announcing the resurrection of the dead and the gathering of the saints. When Jesus returns, it will be the most spectacular and awe-inspiring event in history, and no one will miss it. One of the most comforting and hope-filled passages in all of Scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned words to a group of recently converted believers in the Macedonian city of Thessalonica, who were concerned about their loved ones who had died in Christ. They were anxious about what would happen to these believers at the Lord's return. Paul's words bring clarity, hope, and a beautiful picture of the second coming of Jesus. So let's open our Bibles and take a closer look at what this passage has to teach us. Let's start with verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Paul begins by addressing a very human concern, grief over the loss of loved ones. But notice how he refers to death, not as a final end, but as sleep. This is consistent with the Bible's portrayal of death as a temporary, unconscious state. Jesus himself referred to death as sleep when speaking of Lazarus, and Paul is following that same understanding here. What is crucial for us to grasp is that Paul is not telling the Thessalonians not to grieve. Grieving is natural, but he is reminding them that their grief should not be like the grief of those who have no hope. Because as Christians, we have the blessed hope of the resurrection. Our hope is rooted in the historical fact that Jesus died and rose again. Paul is essentially saying, just as surely as Jesus was raised from the dead, so too will those who have died in Christ be raised. This is not just wishful thinking. It's a promise grounded in the resurrection of Jesus, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Later, Paul will write in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, the Amplified Version. But now, as things really are, Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits. That is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible, immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. Did you know that scientists have discovered seeds that remain dormant for thousands of years can still be brought back to life? In 2005, a date palm seed found in the ruins of Masada, an ancient fortress in Israel, was successfully germinated after nearly 2,000 years. This seed, nicknamed Methuselah, grew into a healthy palm tree, defying expectations about the limits of life and time. If God can bring life from a seed that lay dormant for millennia, how much more can he bring back to life those who sleep in Christ? The resurrection is a divine promise that no matter how long we have slept, we will be awakened to eternal life through the power of Jesus' resurrection. Verses 15 to 17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Here, Paul provides a detailed description of the events that will occur at the second coming. This passage is one of the clearest depictions of the rapture in all of Scripture, but let's be careful to understand what Paul is really saying. First, he assures the Thessalonians that those who are alive at Christ's coming will not have any advantage over those who have died. The dead in Christ will rise first. This is the resurrection of the righteous, a powerful event that marks the beginning of eternal life for the faithful. Notice the sequence. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. This is not a secret event. It is a dramatic, visible, and audible return of Christ. Every eye will see him, as we read about in Revelation 1, verse 7. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then, together with those who are alive and remain, they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This catching up is where we get the concept of the rapture. The Greek word used here is harpazo, which means to seize or snatch away. Paul is describing the glorious moment when believers, both resurrected and transformed, will be gathered to meet Jesus in the clouds. And where do they meet him? Not on the earth, but in the air. This is significant because it shows that Christ's return is not to establish an earthly kingdom at this point, but to take his people to be with him. Some Christian denominations interpret this passage as describing a secret rapture, where believers are taken up to heaven while the rest of the world is left behind to endure a period of tribulation. This is not what this passage suggests. This event is not a secret rapture, but the visible, glorious, and literal second coming of Christ. This event will be witnessed by everyone on earth, as Jesus himself described in Matthew 24, verses 30 to 31. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. In this context, the resurrection of the dead and the transformation of the living believers are part of a single, visible event where Christ returns to take his people to be with him forever. This event will be accompanied by unmistakable signs, such as the loud trumpet of God and the voice of the archangel, making it a worldwide, undeniable event, not a secret one. This passage also teaches that when believers die, they are in a state of unconscious sleep, awaiting the resurrection at Christ's second coming. Paul's reference to those who have fallen asleep in verse 13 is a common biblical metaphor for death, indicating that the dead are not currently conscious or aware, but are resting in their graves. This aligns with other biblical teachings about the state of the dead, such as Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, which states, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." Note that the dead are not in heaven or hell immediately after death, but are instead awaiting the resurrection. When Paul reassures the Thessalonians that those who have died in Christ will be raised first at his coming, he is affirming that the dead are not currently in heaven, but will be resurrected at the second coming. This resurrection is the moment when they will be reunited with Christ and the living believers, as described in verse 16, where the dead in Christ will rise first. This passage dispels the idea of an immediate transition to heaven or hell at the moment of death. Instead, it confirms that all believers, whether alive or dead, will receive their reward together at Christ's return. This provides a powerful message of hope and assurance that death is not the end, but rather a temporary sleep until the glorious resurrection at the second coming of Jesus. Finally, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul concludes this passage with a command. Comfort one another with these words. The message of the second coming is not meant to be a cause for fear or anxiety. On the contrary, it is the ultimate source of comfort for believers, because it promises a glorious reunion with our loved ones who have died in Christ. It assures us that death is not the end, but a temporary sleep from which we will all awaken at the voice of our Savior. The blessed hope of the second coming should inspire us to live faithfully, to encourage one another, and to share the good news of Jesus with the world. This hope reminds us that our ultimate destiny is not tied to this world, but to the eternal kingdom of God. As we await the return of our Lord, let us hold fast to the hope of the resurrection. Let us be comforted by the knowledge that our loved ones who have died in Christ are safe in his care, and that one day soon, we will be reunited with them. Jesus is coming again, and when he does, it will be a day of unimaginable joy and victory. Until that day, let us continue to comfort one another, to encourage each other in the faith, and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you for the blessed hope we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to live each day with the assurance of his soon return. Strengthen our faith, comfort our hearts, and help us to be ready to meet him when he comes. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.